RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. BKPM says that domestic investment remains strong. Minister Tejo affirmed Tolikara conflict won't spread. PLN eyes extra capital injection for power plant projects. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, claimed that domestic investment remains strong in spite of the current economic slowdown. BKPM Chief Frankie Sibarani said in a statement received on Friday that, in principle, permits for domestic investment rose 17.2% in the first half of the year, compared to the same period last year. The value of the in-principle permits for domestic investment reached 189.2 trillion rupiah, which is higher than 161.4 trillion rupiah recorded in the same period last year. To increase interest to invest outside Java, the Indonesian government continued creating good investment climate by, among others, issuing government regulation on income tax allowance for investment in certain fields in or areas which are to be followed later by a tax holiday facility. Frankie said Java remained the main magnet for investors, including domestic investors, as shown by the number of domestic investment projects to be carried out on the island. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Justice and Security Affairs, Tejo Edi Pujiatno, does not believe that the impact of the Tolikara incident would spread throughout the country. He said in Jayapura on Friday that his ministry does not want his conflict to spread everywhere. The conflict is not about religion. Earlier, the situation in Papua had been described as peaceful and improving after a riot that occurred in Tolikara district on Friday, according to Vice President Yusuf Kalla. The Vice President stated that the separatism issue had no effect on the people in Papua and West Papua. Tolikara Mayor Usman Wanimbo stated that economic and other activities of the people in the district had returned to normal. He noted that the people whose houses had been burned down were still living in tents in the yard at the district military station. Moreover, spokesman for the Public Information Division of the National Police, Senior Commissioner Suharsono, stated that police had opened fire to control the rioting mob and to keep them away from the mosque. State-owned electricity company PT PLN aims to secure extra state capital injection, or PMN, totaling 8 trillion rupiahs, or around $600 million, next year to fund the development of mega power plants with a combined capacity of 10,000 megawatts. The fresh funds will add to the 5 trillion rupiah stimulus it obtained under a similar scheme approved by the House of Representatives earlier this year. PLN President Director Sofian Basir said that the second round of capital injection could further strengthen the company's equity and the value of the initial injection. He also expected that the government would soon disburse a PNM allocation to PLN for 2015 to help the company meet its equity target of around 21 trillion rupiahs for the power plant project funding. The company's equity, however, will make up only 30% of its contribution, while loans are anticipated to meet the majority of the rest. Of this issue, Sofian revealed that PLN had secured loans from various foreign lenders and development banks. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Seismic Survey and Geophysical Service Company Gelombang Seismik Indonesia aims to earn up to 25 billion rupiah or around $1.8 million in an initial public offering next month, banking on the remaining potential of untapped oil reserves in Indonesia. The shares will be on offer from August the 4th to August the 6th with Panca Global Securities serving as underwriter. Listing on the Indonesia Stock Exchange, IDX, is scheduled for August the 13th. Gelombang Seismik Indonesia, which provides seismic data recording services to oil companies, plans to use 70% of the proceeds as capital expenditure, mainly to buy new recording equipment. The remaining 30% will be used as working capital to support the company's ongoing contracts. Director of Gelombang Seismik Indonesia, Barita Sihombing, said during a public presentation in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia still has a lot of potential oil reserves, but the exploration data is still lacking. As long as companies still search for oil in Indonesia, seismic services will still be needed. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo estimated that the country's current account deficit was $5 billion or less than 2.3% of the country's gross domestic product in the second quarter of this year. The deficit narrowed from 4.2% in the same period in 2014 and 4.4% in 2013. The narrowing deficit indicated that the process of the country's economic reform was progressing. Agus Martowardoyo said in Jakarta on Friday that this shows that the economy and transition is running as expected despite the pressure on rupiah, which is more on external factor. Agus, however, noted the current account deficit in the second quarter of this year widened from 1.8% in the first quarter on financial transaction, including increase in the use of foreign exchange in the second quarter. It was planned that tax holiday would be given to sectors that would contribute to development in the downstream sector and projects generating added value. The central bank predicted that the country's current account deficit could be pressed to below 2.5% of the GDP. Indonesia's main stock index slipped on Friday as retailer stock tumbled following the government's decision to increase import duty on consumer goods entering the country. The Jakarta Composite Index lost 0.94% on Friday, ending the week with 0.3% loss, about 3.4 billion shares worth nearly 4 trillion rupiahs were traded on the Indonesian Stock Exchange on Friday. Foreign investors, which made up 43% of the trading activity on Thursday, booked a net sale of 123 billion rupiahs. Shares in the miscellaneous industry, which consists of automotive distributors and garment makers, took the biggest fall at 2.6%, while consumer goods stocks followed with a 1.22% drop. Aside from the import tariff hike, the rupiah continued fall against the U.S. dollars and global negative sentiments have also placed more pressure on the Jakarta Composite Index. The rupiah has depreciated by 8% against the U.S. dollar so far this year, reaching 13,448 rupiahs, data from Bank Indonesia showed. Last item. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that the capital will install additional closed-circuit television in several areas. He said on Friday, July the 24th, that CCTV is highly useful. The recent missing kid case in a shopping mall was resolved through CCTV. Previously, Cynthia Hermawan, a six-year-old girl, was reported missing at the Pusat Grosir Cililitan Shopping Center in East Jakarta. She was later found and returned to her parents by a taxi driver on Tuesday, July the 21st. The police continue to investigate the case and has managed to identify the face of the kidnapper by examining CCTV footage. Governor Basuki has specifically asked for a CCTV system that can recognize facial features. He also pointed out that high-quality pictures can help the police to identify suspects, especially with the currently implemented EKTP or Electronic Identification Card system. To end the news, here are the main points once again. BKPM says domestic investment remains strong. Minister Tejo affirmed Tolikara conflict won't spread. PLN eyes extra capital injection for power plant projects. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the Press Review. We begin with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial, Kompas writes about President Jokowi's warning. President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi's warning, was conveyed straightforwardly in a ceremony marking the 55th anniversary of the Indonesian Attorney Corps. In his speech, President Jokowi reminded law enforcement not to make the suspect as an ATM machine. Although it was delivered before the prosecutor corps, the president's message is actually universal and applicable to all law enforcement agencies, including police, judges, and the Corruption Eradication Commission, KEPK. Based on a poll made by Kompas from June the 25th to July the 7th, the prosecutor corps image was up and down. It dropped from 65% viewed positively in January 2015 to 53.4% in April and rose to 60.3% in June. That figure is below the Corruption Eradication Commission, the Constitutional Court, and the Supreme Court. Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo has the task of improving the image of prosecutors through continuing internal reforms that seem stalled. Selection and promotion of officials of the prosecutor's office, as suggested by President Jokowi, should be based on competence and capability, not other factors. The paper underlines the president's message that the law enforcement must not make the suspect as their ATM machine. It's a metaphorical language that law enforcement must not abuse their authority given by the law to profit themselves. Koran Tempo Daily, in its editorial, writes about injustice remission for convicts of corruption cases. The paper says the Ministry of Law and Human Rights should reject the proposal of remission for corrupter prisoners, as this would harm justice. The remission would also betray the determination that corruption is an extraordinary crime and efforts to combat it. Currently, the ministry is processing remission for four convicted corruptors in connection with Idul Fitri Day, which is routinely given to inmates. Among the various cases of 545 prisoners who got remission of prison term, there were four big corruptors who received remission of 1 to 1.5 months. Remissions for corruptors give a bad precedent in the legal order. Therefore, according to Tempo, Minister Yasona should reconsider granting remission to corruptors. How much money and efforts has been spent to capture and punish the corrupt? Indonesia will continue trapped in a circle of corruption if the country becomes permissive against the perpetrators. For the sake of justice and a better Indonesia, as the slogan of this government, Minister Yasona should refuse the proposal of granting remission of their punishment. Anyway, they do not meet the formal requirements to receive a discount, which is having undergone a third of their sentence. To conclude Press Review today, here is the Republika newspaper that writes about travelers' discipline. The backflow of people celebrating Idul Fitri in their hometowns is over. The peak occurred on Wednesday, July the 22nd, and is predicted to also happen on Saturday today and Sunday this week. This has become the turning point of culmination of the annual routine. Jammed roads and traffic problems still dominate travelers' complaints this year. In addition, the accident rate is still high, although there are indications of a decline in the trend of the cases. Of course, these facts and data are to become an evaluation for related parties, such as the central government, in this case the Ministry of Transportation, the police, and local government whose territory was passed by travelers. Undeniably, highway construction, road repair, and alternative transportation have become the determining factor of the success or failure of homecoming exodus this year. According to Republika, the attitude of some travelers that endanger the safety of themselves and others should become the attention of the police in order to curb their recklessness. Hopefully, the travelers would also realize that their action is very risky for others. not only related to how to drive. Other bad records of the traveler's behavior is littering. Hygienic behavior and discipline did not seem to be owned by most travelers. The side streets passed by the annual travelers are scattered with garbage, including in the highway rest area. It looks like the culture of discipline and order have not been ingrained in some people. Indonesia can certainly inculcate the culture of this discipline. Of course, according to Republika, it must start from oneself first. Well, that was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Nuka, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on July 25, 1907, when Lord Robert Baden-Powell, at the time as Lieutenant General of British troops, for the first time held a scout camp. The name Pramuka was derived from the acronym of Praja Muda Karana, a Sanskrit meaning young people willing to work. In Indonesia, the term Pramuka was officially used in 1961, but the scout movement has actually been around since the Dutch colonial era with the name of Scouting. The term Pramuka is only used in Indonesian, while in the world Pramuka is called Scout. This movement aims to develop young people physically, mentally, and spiritually. The history of Scout began on July 25, 1907, when Lord Baden-Powell, at the time as Lieutenant General of British troops, for the first time held a Scout camp on Brownsea Island, England, for 8 days. Subsequently, in 1908, Baden-Powell wrote a book about the basic principles of Scouting, Scoutings for Boys, which means Scout for Men. The next event was in 1978, when Louise Joy Brown, as Tube Baby, was born. Louise Joy Brown, who was born on July 25, 1978, is an English woman known for being the first human to have been born after conception by in vitro fertilizations, or IVF. Louise Brown was born at Oldham General Hospital, Oldham, by plan caesarean sections delivered by registers John Webster. She weighed 5 pounds 12 ounces or 2.6 kilos at birth. Her parents Leslie and John Brown had been trying to conceive for 9 years. They faced complications of blocked fallopian tubes. On 10 November 1977, Leslie Brown underwent a procedure, later to become known as IVF, in vitro fertilizations developed by Patrick Steptoe and Robert Edwards. Edwards was awarded the 2010 Nobel Prize in Medicine for this work. And the last event was in 2000 when Concorde flight crashed in Genes. Air France Flight 4590 was a Concorde flight operated. Air France Flight 4590 was a Concorde flight operated by Air France, which was secluded to fly from Charles de Gaulle Airport near Paris to John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York City. On July 25, 2000, it crashed into a hotel in Genes, France. All 100 passengers and 9 crew members on board the flight died. On the ground, 4 people were killed and 1 critically injured. The flight was chartered by German company Peter Dellmann Cruises. The passengers were on their way to board the cruise ship MS Deutschland in New York City for a 16-day cruise to Manta, Ecuador. This was the only fatal Concorde accident during its 27 years operational history. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The topic of today's Focus is the performance of the Indonesian banking is good according to the Deposit Insurance Agency. The Deposit Insurance Agency, or LPS, assesses that the performance of the Indonesian national banking system is currently in good shape and has contributed to the strength of the national economy. Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the agency, Heru Budiargo, in a press conference at the Presidential Office Jakarta on Thursday, after being received by President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace, said that the assessment was based on a comparison of premium funds collected from banks over the last 10 years, with customer funds being covered. Premium collected by the agency in the last 10 years amounted to 50 trillion rupiahs. However, the fund used to maintain stability, paying customer funds of closed bank, amounted to only 4.5 trillion rupiahs. In a meeting with the president, members of the board of the Deposit Insurance Agency LPS Commission reported on the implementation of underwriting and financial reports as well as the plan of development of the agency's role. After the meeting, Teten Mas Duki, member of the presidential communication team, explained that in its reports, LPS claimed to have handled 63 bank claims which license have been revoked, and of that number, 62 banks have completed the recovery process. LPS also reported the nominal amount of guaranteed public deposits, which is more than 1,900 trillion rupiahs. It covers about 46% of the total savings of more than 4,200 trillion rupiahs. On that occasion, the Deposit Insurance Agency proposed that the public deposits in banks obtain full assurance or the so-called blanket guarantee. So far, if a bank is liquidated, only a maximum saving of 2 billion rupiahs is guaranteed. LPS proposed that in a crisis situation, all customer deposits in banks are guaranteed so that the public will remain calm and their savings remain in the national banking system. Responding to this, President Jokowi, who at the meeting was accompanied by Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, stated that the full guarantee is likely to be discussed along with the deliberation on the draft law on crisis protocol that will be discussed with the House of Representatives. According to President Jokowi, based on the report of the Minister of Finance, the Bill on Financial System Safety Net, or JPSK, has entered the House and will be discussed starting from August the 14th. President Jokowi said after the bill was passed, there will be a strong legal guarantee for LPS in providing protection against the banking system and for its customers. That was Focus Today. On the performance of Indonesian banking is good according to the Deposit Insurance Agency. I'm Anna Trijayakasih. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, July the 25th, 2015. We begin with the Kompas newspaper. In its headlines, Kompas writes, "The financial industry gets stimulus." The Financial Service Authority, FSA, issued 35 policies to stimulate economic growth, including for micro, small, and medium enterprises. It is expected that credit for small and medium enterprises will grow and become a driving force in the slowing economy. Chairman of the FSA Board of Commissioners Mulyaman D. Hadad said the Financial Services Authority policy was immediately put in place in the banking sector, capital market, non-bank financial industry, as well as the fields of education and consumer protection. FSA will see further future economic conditions in Indonesia. Next is Koran Sindo. Koran Sindo in its headline writes, "Pertalite tested market 2 months." PT Pertamina Persero conducted a market test for new fuel types Pertalite for 2 months. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto, when launching Pertalite at Abdul Muiz Gas Station in Jakarta yesterday, said Pertalite, which yesterday officially sold in 101 gas stations in Jakarta, East Jawa, West Jawa, and East Jawa, is expected to be accepted by the public. He said in the market test, Pertalite was sold at a price of 8,400 rupiahs per liter. Pertamina believes with higher quality than the premium, the public interest to buy Pertalite will be bigger than the premium. This because the rapidly growing automotive industry should be accompanied by an increase in demand for quality fuel. We end headline news with the Republika newspaper, which writes, "The Indonesian military TNI ensure the development of new mosque in Tolikara." Indonesian military said that it will ensure the development of a new mosque in Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua after the burning incident on July the 17th. The military guarantee came after fears of rejection by some parties to build a new mosque. The new mosque, named Masjid Baitul Mutakin, will replace the one which was burned during the Idul Fitri prayer last week. The military chief Gatot Nurmantio stated the guarantee regarding the establishment of the new mosque. All parties must maintain the freedom to worship according to one's own convictions. Jayapura District Military Commander Colonel Triyunarto said The military ensured that the new mosque will be built on the site of a volleyball court at Koramil in Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua. So that was headline news of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board claimed that domestic investment remains strong in spite of the current economic slowdown. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Justice and Security Affairs Tejo Edi Pujiatno does not believe that the impact of the Tolikara incident would spread throughout the country. State-owned electricity company PT PLN aims to secure extra state capital injection totaling 8 trillion rupiah or around $600 million next year to fund the development of mega power plants with a combined capacity of 10,000 megawatts. Seismic Survey and Geophysical Service company Gelombang Seismik Indonesia aims to earn up to 25 billion rupiah or around $1.8 million in an initial public offering next month, banking on the remaining potential of untapped oil reserves in Indonesia. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo estimated that the country's current account deficit was $5 billion or less than 2.3% of the country's gross domestic product in the second quarter of this year. Indonesia's main stock index slipped on Friday as retailer stock tumbled following the government's decision to increase import duty on consumer goods entering the country. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahaya Purnama said that the capital will install additional closed-circuit television in several areas. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I'd like to invite you to visit Singkil Indah Beach, Cilacap, in Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, if you look for quietness, we offer vacation spot which probably can become your consideration. This place is Singkil Indah Beach, which is located at Karang Pakis Village, Nusa Wungu Sub-District, Cilacap Regency, Central Java Province. This beach can be accessed from Gombong or Purwokerto City and takes around 1 until 2 hours. Listener, the nature of Singkil Indah Beach is very exotic. Moreover, during the sunset, this beach has its own enhancement, especially for young people. At the beach, you can see yingking, which is laying the eggs. Yingking is a kind of crab. Yingking at Singkil Indah Beach is green yingking. You can also participate in catching fish with a local fisherman. Listener, Singkil Indah Beach is also a favorite place for tourists who love surfing, because this place is well known with seven waves. It is called seven waves because its waves are large and always come sequentially seven times. These waves become tourist attraction. The beach has also another attraction. One of them is coconut sugar, which is processed by the local people and often becomes an entertainment for the tourists. Because Cilacap has abundant sea products, so after you are tired of playing and enjoying the beauty of Singkil Indah Beach, you can enjoy the delicious seafood at the stalls along the beach. Listener, if you are in Jakarta and want to enjoy the exotic Singkil Indah Beach, you can take Purwojaya train to Purwokerto. And then, from Cilacap City, you can take public transportation to Singkil Indah Beach. And as a souvenirs, you can buy Cilacap typical souvenirs such as salty fish, shrimp paste, crackers, and many others. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for the day, featuring Singkil Indah Beach in Cilacap, Central Java Province. Meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be about Ramang Ramang Full Moon Festival. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Ramang Ramang is located in Karts areas that stretches in Pangkep and Maros districts, South Sulawesi. The Karts region has an area about 45,000 hectares, in which 20,000 hectares are included in Bantimurung National Park in Maros. It is said to be the world's second largest after the karst areas in Yunnan, southern China. In 2001, UNESCO named the Pangkep Maros Karst Region as a nature reserve which has a unique biodiversity with remains of prehistoric era in some cave walls. With the beauty and uniqueness, of course, there are a lot of local and foreign tourists visiting Ramang Ramang. There are several natural attractions that can be found, namely Batu Kapur Forest Park, Telaga Bidadari Lake, Gua Buluk Baraka, Gua Telapak Tangan, Gua Pasaung Caves, and touring the Putih and Berua Village. Traveling to Ramang Ramang in August this year will feel different and festive, as on the 8th and 9th of August 2015, a festival titled Ramang Ramang Full Moon Festival will be held at Kampung Berua, Ramang Ramang, Maros District, South Sulawesi. The dates were chosen since they coincide with the culmination of moonlight. At that time, there will be minimal clouds so that visitors can freely enjoy the beauty of the karst cliffs and various cultural events presented, such as Pak Ganrang Rinci, Pak Kacapi, Pak Gambus, PPK Rima, and Pamanca. The festival, which is expected to increase the number of local and foreign tourists to Ramang Ramang, will invite a number of communities in Makassar to enliven the event, such as photographers, communities, painters, and Makassar bloggers. In addition, they will also be invited to compete in photo and painting contests, and the results will be exhibited at the Makassar Art Building. The best works will be awarded, of course. Another unique sight in this festival is visitors will spend the night in tents and villagers' houses, like homestay. Therefore, all facilities being prepared by the committee, including boats. The committee will prepare about 40 boats to travel to Ramang Ramang, because the entrance to Ramang Ramang must go through the river. Each boat can accommodate 5 people. That was Miss Eleni, which discussed the Full Moon Festival in Ramang Ramang. We'll see you again in the next edition of Miss Eleni with other interesting themes. See you.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll present you to the Java Band. Let's listen to a song entitled Doa, or in English means prayer.
Tercipta dalam dunia ini untuk menyembah, untuk menghamba kepada Engkau ya Tuhan. Surga dan neraka yang Kau ciptakan menjadi sebuah batas pemisah antara hambamu yang bertakwa dengan hamba yang tenggelam di dalam dosa. Jadikanlah kami penghuni surga, izinkanlah kami bernaung di sana. Jangan Kau benamkan kami dalam neraka-Mu. Kabulkan doa kami Tuhan. Hakikat manusia dalam dunia ini untuk menyembah, untuk menghamba kepada Engkau ya Tuhan. Jadikanlah kami penghuni surga, izinkanlah kami bernaung di sana. Jadikanlah kami penghuni surga, izinkanlah kami bernaung di sana. Jangan Kau benamkan kami dalam neraka-Mu. Kabulkan doa kami Tuhan. Kabulkan doa kami Tuhan. Kabulkan doa kami Tuhan. Kabulkan doa kami.
Java is a band from Jakarta, which was established on May 15, 2002, and consists of Arya, vocal, Uki and Aang, guitar, Denny bass, Leo drum. They play pop rock genre. From 2002 until 2006, the Java has performed at several places on Java Island. In 2006, the Java has a contract under Cepe label with Tanto Yahya as the executive producer. The Java's first album was released on 11 November 2006 and launched in Jakarta on January 22, 2007 with a song entitled Cinta or Jangan Tangisi Aku as their hit songs. This song also became a soundtrack of a film, Love, on Indonesian private television.
Cinta, tak pernah terbayangkan kisah kita. Berpisah untuk sementara waktu, saat-saat indah bersama denganmu. Mungkin ini satu ujian kesetiaan yang harus kita buktikan bersama.
VOI listeners, you have just listened to a song entitled Cinta or Jangan Tangisi Aku, or in English means Love or Don't Cry on Me, sung by the Java band. The Java released the second album in early 2008 with Michael as the new vocalist and Dicrae as the new keyboardist of the Java. By attending Michael and Dicrae, the Java is optimistic to always present songs which are fresh, easy listening like the Java album before. The Java certainly a little bit moved from the mainstream of Indonesian music, although they try to break the market's desire. The Java still believe with their music. The Java does not want to fail again like their first album. Because of that, in the second album entitled Pengisi Hati, with the hit song Dengan atau Tanpamu or With or Without You, they make change to customize Michael's vocal. Listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs Dengan atau Tanpamu or With You or Without You and Selamat Jalan or Goodbye. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Kau pikir aku terluka, kau pikir aku bersedih setelah semua yang kau lakukan padaku. Aku masih di sini dan tetap berdiri. Kau pikir aku terpuruk dengan semua yang terjadi. Waktu itu kau hianati cintaku. Aku takkan peduli dengan semua itu. Aku baik-baik saja meski kau tinggalkan aku. Aku tetap bahagia dengan atau tanpamu. Pikir aku terburuk dengan semua yang terjadi. Waktu itu kau hianati cintaku. Aku takkan peduli dengan semua itu. Aku baik-baik saja meski kau tinggalkan aku. Aku tetap bahagia dengan atau tanpamu. Aku baik-baik saja meski kau tinggalkan aku. Aku tetap tersenyum dengan atau tanpamu. Oh, percaya akan berikan satu yang terindah untukku selamanya. Untukku selamanya. Oh, aku baik-baik saja meski kau tinggalkan aku. Aku tetap bahagia dengan atau tanpamu. Aku baik-baik saja meski kau tinggalkan aku. Aku tetap tersenyum dengan atau tanpamu. Oh, aku baik-baik saja.
Baik-baik saja
meski kau tinggalkan aku.
Tinggalkan aku.
Aku tetap bahagia. Tanpa.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Cintaimu sepenuh hati ini takkan bisa terganti cintamu. Engkau hilangkan dahagaku, sirami jiwaku. Engkau begitu berarti untukku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.